Hey guys, welcome back to Fat Man Little Trail, the podcast where everybody is welcome on the trail. I am your host, the Fat Man. I took a couple of weeks off, but I'm back now, and I want to thank everybody for the support of the podcast over the last few months. It's been going great. If you do enjoy it, make sure you like and share it on whatever format that you're listening to it on, whichever, I know we're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and all sorts of different podcast platform. So if you enjoy it, make sure you like and share it there. And if you want to support the podcast, even 99 cents a month goes a long way to help me bring out the best content to you guys each and every time that I come on here. So that would be great. There's a link in my bio if you are interested in that. I want to get right into it today. I did something that I don't normally do, and I wanted to talk about it, and it's night hiking. I've done some hiking where I get out in the early morning and I want to do a sunrise hike or something like that. So I will go out at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's kind of, dawn. It's kind of that twilight area, and it'll be progressively getting lighter, but it's kind of dark when you start, and might need a flashlight or something like that. Well, a company called Foxelli sent me some headlights that they wanted me to test out, some headlamps that they wanted me to test out. So I decided to do a sunset hike to one of my favorite places, Staunton State Park here in Colorado. Staunton's a cool park. It's like the closest. It's kind of my home base state park, and I feel really confident and really comfortable there. So that's why I wanted to do the night hike there. But I ended up getting myself a little bit too far out. I was ended up being like 5 miles away when the sun started going down. And Staunton's one of these parks that there's a lot of bear scat around on the ground, and there's talk of bears being there. So I wasn't 100% comfortable. I thought maybe I'd walk a mile back, but I didn't time it very well, and it turned out to be a 5 mile hike back. And I learned some very valuable lessons in my first time of hiking when it was getting dark, as opposed to when it's getting light. When it's getting light, it's getting progressively lighter as you go. And that's kind of a slow process. But at night, when the sun goes down and you're in the middle of a state park and there's no lights around, it gets dark, and it gets dark in a hurry. That was the most surprising thing to me, is how quickly it went from that twilight stage to just pure darkness. And it was a little freaky, I gotta be honest with you. It kind of got me. I think the worst part of it was in that twilight stage, because the headlamp, it was light enough where the headlamp wasn't doing much, but the shadows were really cast all over the place, and it was making it for, visibility was down, and it was just a little bit crazy. But then it just got dark, like boom, super quick, and it was dark. And it took me a second to get my bearings. And the thing that I think surprised me more than the dark was how quiet everything got, because all those little squirrels and chipmunks and pika and all the little animals that make noise, the birds and everything that make noise all day long when you're hiking, that you don't really notice it because you're enjoying the sounds of nature and enjoying that aspect of it. Well, they all of a sudden go completely quiet, and it is just a deafening silence. It is pitch black and a deafening silence. I turned off my headlamp at one point just to see how dark it was, and it was one of those where I couldn't see my hand 2 inches in front of my face. And it took a minute to get the rhythm of the headlamp, because at first I just started staring down at the ground the whole time. It's a rocky type of trail in a rocky park, so walking, I was really worried about my steps. And then I would like look down, and then I would stop, look back up, and then see, look around and see if there's anything out there, and then look back down and start walking with my head down. And then it took me a minute to get that kind of rhythm of, I would look down, and then I would look out, and then I would look side to side to kind of see what was out there. And I felt much more comfortable once I got into that rhythm. And the darker it got, the closer, to complete darkness that it got, I think I actually started to feel a little bit more comfortable, because it was that fear of the unknown of what was it going to be like hiking as it got darker and darker instead of getting lighter and lighter, which threw me off a little bit. But by the end, I started enjoying it a lot more than I did at the beginning. The beginning, I was a little bit freaked out, and I'm not going to lie, and tough guy on that. I was by myself 5 miles deep into the state park and in the woods and on rocky terrain. So it was kind of a bit off more than I could chew, but I intentionally went to a park that I knew well, that I was comfortable knowing where I was. But it kind of, I lost all of that sense of where I was because there's no landmarks to see and it's completely dark. And even as comfortable as I was at Staunton and on this trail that I've done probably 30 times, it was a, you know, completely different experience when you don't know what you're looking at. You don't know where you are. You know that you're on a trail somewhere, but you don't really know exactly what it was. So it was a little bit of a disconcerting feeling of just, one, the quiet, two, the darkness, and three, just kind of not really knowing where you were. And it went a lot slower. So you started, you know, I started to think to myself like, hey, I think I should be, you know, at this point yet, and I'm not there. And then you start like internally panicking because you can't see that the stream is, you know, a quarter mile ahead of you because it's dark. So, it's something that I don't know that I would recommend people going out and doing a lot of night hiking by themselves, especially in a state park that has bears. That's like a 5 mile walk. I'm not saying that I'm the smartest person out there or make the best decisions in life, but, it was something that I did and I would probably do it again in a park that I was comfortable with. But I think most people should probably on their first time, you know, go in a group, you know, where you have some more lights and, you know, some people to talk to. One thing I did do is I had to make sure I didn't want to accidentally run up upon a bear or even a deer or an elk or something like that unsuspecting and run into an accident. So it was I think the loudest that I ever hiked. I was singing some songs that I sang terribly. I was pounding my stick on the ground. I was dragging my feet. I was whistling. I was doing what I could to make as much noise as I could to make sure that I didn't accidentally stumble upon some sort of wild animal that I couldn't see, to kind of mitigate that risk. There is a story about a young lady who was, she was a big trail runner and a triathlete, I believe. And she was out the other day, or I guess it was about a month ago now. And she was doing a morning run at like 4:30 in the morning. It was dark out. And I don't know if she didn't bring a headlamp or she didn't bring lights. And she was just running on this trail. And she actually bumped into the backside of a moose on the trail. And the moose got freaked out and turned around and attacked her. And she needed, you know, medical attention. And, you know, that's the scary part of not knowing what you're doing or not knowing what you're walking into and things like that. And that's what I wanted to avoid. So if you heard some crazy guy singing, you know, some very off-key songs and you were in the Staunton area a few weeks ago, then that was me. But like I said, as the day went on and as the night went on, I started to really kind of get more comfortable and I enjoyed it a little bit more. I also saw some people that were probably a little bit crazier than I was, and these were mountain bikers. There were like three sets of mountain bikers that I saw after it got pitch black that were out mountain biking at night. And, you know, if I fall while I'm walking, you know, the fall is, you know, from standing to laying on the ground, I'm not one that's going to be on a rocky terrain trying to drive a mountain bike in the middle of the night. And they had like headlights on their bike and headlamps on their heads and things like that. But it's still, that was a risk I was pretty surprised that somebody was going to take. You know, I thought hiking out there was as dangerous as, you know, people got, but yeah, there were a bunch of them out there just riding their bikes, and they weren't riding slow. They were cranking it. So more power to them. But it's just another thing. If you are going to night hike, something to watch out for is the, you know, other people that are out there. Luckily, everybody had lights on. Nobody was doing anything that was too foolish. And we gave each other plenty of room on the trail to make sure that we didn't have any accidents or anything like that. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. I can barely ride a bike in, you know, at noon when the sun's as bright as it's going to get, without hitting something on the sidewalk or something like that. So for somebody to go out there and ride a bike in pitch black was, you know, more power to them. The one thing that I did run into, and it was the first time that I had this experience, and I know that I knew about it, but I didn't know what it was going to be like. And that is a lot of the nocturnal animals like the deer and, deer especially, but bears as well, and some of the other nocturnal animals, when your headlamp hits their eyes, you get a reflective eye shine back. And what it is it's two just glowing orbs that you know are eyes, and you know they're staring back at you, but you might not be able to see the body. I know when I was doing it, I saw the eyes way before I saw the bodies. So it was just these two floating orbs sitting, you know, eye line with me or a little bit taller than me, sitting out in the woods, just staring back at me. And that is one of those feelings that makes the skin crawl a little bit. It kind of reminded me of, you know, for those of you original Star Wars fans, in the first one, the animals that had like the glowing eyes beneath the hood, and you couldn't see anything that was, you couldn't see their face at all, but you just saw these glowing eyes. And that is kind of like how it was out there. And luckily, the only thing I saw a couple of deer in different places. And one of them was at kind of that twilight where the light wasn't hitting exactly. It wasn't hitting really hard. And it was just this faint glow. But then when it was in the dark of night, I ended up seeing these deer's eyes, and they were just these glowing orbs just staring back at me. And it's enough to make you stop right in your tracks. And you know, I took very short steps forward to try to figure out, well, is that a bear? Is that a mountain lion? Is that a wolf? Is that a, what is that? Is it a, I came up with a new animal called the Tyrannosaurus bear, which I was pretty sure that's what that was going to be, is some sort of mythical creature with glowing eyes that I was going to have to slay on the hike just to make it back to my car. Turned out it was nothing but a deer, and the deer just wanted to eat. But once he saw my light, he couldn't look away. So once I turned my head, he turned his head, and he went back to eating and let me pass. So, but it's something that if you're not ready for it, is a little bit shocking to come upon a trail and see, you know, these eyes just staring back from the abyss at you. So just keep that in mind if you are going to attempt the night hike. And not every animal's eyes will glow. Like, I believe moose don't see well at night, so they don't have that reflective sheen on their with their eyes. So if, you know, you might not be able to see all animals like that. And I need to do a way more research before I go out and hike again, especially in moose country when it is dark. There was definitely like an eerie calm at the end of it though. Like, you know, I was pretty worked up when it started. And then when I started seeing all these glowing eyes at me, that was a little bit, you know, frightening again. And again, by myself, 5 mile walk, which took a little bit, getting used to. When I saw the bikes, I started to feel a little bit better. When I saw some landmarks that I knew, I felt a little bit better, because then I realized where I was and I didn't have that spatial separation of, I think I've been walking for 2 miles. Why isn't this stream here? Or why isn't, you know, this part of the trail here? And once I started to get comfortable with that, there was by the end this like encompassing calm that came over my whole body, where it was just kind of like the darkness was more like a blanket that was around me, that was just kind of making me feel calm and comfortable while I was walking through the state park in the middle of the night. So it was something that was a really good experience. The Foxelli headlamp worked very well. I have a review of that on fatmanlittletrail.com right now if you're interested in that. But I do highly suggest getting some form of light, because you may just get stuck out there and it is so dark. So make sure that you have some form of light on you, ready to go if you end up getting stuck and you have to walk in the dark through the woods. I remember a couple weeks ago I was up at Rocky Mountain National Park, and we were coming down like kind of right after sunset, and we weren't too far into our trail, but people were going up at that time and, you know, didn't have any lights with them. And I was just thinking to myself, they look like just tourists who came. And, you know, a lot of places, if you're in the suburbs or the city or something like that, it gets dark, but it doesn't really get dark because there's street lights and there's, you know, car lights and things like that. So you can kind of see your way around. But man, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, it gets dark. So that is my experience with a night hiking. I hope you enjoyed. I have on my YouTube page and on my website, there's stories about my night hike and kind of some reviews of how that went. And my video ended up looking a lot like the Blair Witch Project from back in the day, with just like a single light and me talking randomly to myself in the middle of the woods in the dark. So no snot bubbles though. So I kept that out of the video, and I will not confirm nor deny whether they were actually there. But so that was a night hike. Again, an experience that some people will enjoy and some people might not. I don't recommend doing it by yourself unless you're really, really comfortable at that point. But it was still, you know, a little bit much for me. So buddy up and try to do a short one if you are looking at starting that tradition of night hiking. That takes me kind of into the next segment here I want to talk about, which is my hike of the week. I try to pick out a hike of the week each week when I talk about the blog here. And we're in the middle of fall. We are in the leaf peeping season, as it is called out here in Colorado, where all the aspen trees turn from a green to a golden yellow, kind of an auburn sometimes. But it's just really beautiful. It's a lot of pine and evergreen out here. So there's a ton of green in all the hills, but then there's these groves in the middle of, you know, aspens and some other, like willow bushes and things like that do change colors. And it's really cool to see a mountain that is like 90% evergreen, like just green. And then 10% of it is this just beautiful orange or yellow, aspen grove that is just stunning to look at. And it brings out what they call the leaf peepers, which are the people that, you know, typically don't go to the mountains, or they might go during ski country, but they're coming out and they're driving 10 miles an hour down the highways, looking at leaves and taking pictures from the roads and things like that. And it gets a little bit crazy out here. But I wanted to talk about kind of my seasonal startup hike. And it's not really a hike. It's something that everybody can enjoy. And it's Kenosha Pass. And Kenosha Pass is on 285 between Fairplay and Grant, Colorado, if you know the area at all. And it's one of these hikes that is just, you kind of park, and then there's a harder hike on the, I guess that would be the north side of the road. And then on the south side where like the Colorado Trail is, this is also part of the Colorado Trails at Kenosha Pass. And on the south side, there's like a campground there, and there's a little bit more parking on that side of the road. And you can just kind of wander about on some of the Forest Service roads that are back there. So it's not really a hike, but it's one of those places that it's one of the first to change colors in Colorado. And there's a ton of trees out there that change colors, and it's just absolutely stunning. And I know a lot of people want to see the fall colors, but don't want to do a 10-mile hike to get to see them or anything like that. And Kenosha is perfect for that, because you can come to the pass and you can park your car and you can sit in your car and take pictures and see some beautiful stuff. You can come to the pass and you can do a hard hike on the right or the north side of the road, and you know, kind of get all the way over into that South Park area, if you know the area. And yes, those of you who are fans of the South Park TV show, that is right past the 285. There's actually a pull off right past Kenosha Pass on 285. That is kind of the commemorative South Park. It's an area. It's not a town. Fairplay is technically the town that makes up South Park, from the cartoon, but Kenosha Pass, you can also, on the south side, you can just go and kind of walk on a street, or, you know, it's a dirt road, but you can kind of walk down the road. There's not a ton of elevation. It's not really that hard of a hike, and you can just enjoy the colors, and you can enjoy, you know, the start of the fall season. And, it's where I like to go first when I first start hearing about the leaves changing. It's like kind of the first place I want to go, because I know that it's beautiful out there. There's parking. It does get really, really, really busy on the weekends, and cars will be parked for a mile in either direction from the pass on the side of the road. So be very careful when you're driving around there. Be very careful when you're walking, trying to find, or if you park and you have to walk up the street, just be very careful of that. But if you're looking for an easy hike, more of just a walk, check that south side towards the Colorado Trail entrance. And just kind of wander around, and you don't even have to get into you know, deep into the woods, you can kind of stay out by the parking area. There is a small little trail that takes you around a fence, and like it follows an old railroad, and it goes down to a little pond that you can take as well. But it's all flat ground, and it's really easy. So anybody who's looking to see the fall colors lives out in Colorado this time of year, check out Kenosha Pass. It's a good one for you. So that's my hike of the week. Don't do that at night. You know, obviously I talked about the night hiking before. You can't really see the leaves in the night hiking, but it is, if you could start it, I guess, and see the sunrise over the leaves, which is also very beautiful. So that's the podcast for this week. Again, I took a couple weeks off, so thanks for sticking with me, and I really appreciate all of the support. I've got some good ones planned up, some good interviews coming up in the next month or so. So I'm excited about that, and we'll continue on a little bit more regularly now that I'm back. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and go ahead and click that like and follow, and check me out on fatmanlittletrail.com for more. I hope to see you on the trail real soon, and until then, happy hiking.